Freeform Radio, the voice of Sacramento. You'll never guess what you'll hear next.
A man trades an old dollar on a brand new dime. Lord, he lives in squalor, but the dime do shine. Along comes a woman, loves that dime too. Stayed with him for 10 long years, then left him blue. Love lost, love found, lost again. Me, I went to college, I played the fool. But all I ever really wanted was a buckskin mule. All that worldly knowledge left me real glum. Should've stayed down in the country, bareback, moonshine dumb. Love lost, love found, lost again. Love lost, love found, lost again. Now crack that oyster open. There's no pearl, but that's a mighty good eating. God's in the world. Looking for a little rock hard, settle for the soft. Waiting through this briny business, baby, till we get along. Love lost, love found, lost again. Love lost. Stuff to do, my job to keep, a lot of bait to stay awake, tasks incomplete. Now I'm standing in the welfare line and living on the street. Love lost, love found, lost again. Love lost, love found, lost again. Love lost, love found, lost again.
96.5 FM, KUBU, The Voice, and brand new music by High School. That's Jeff High School's band. We heard Love Lost, and on the phone all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee, I've got the man himself, Jeff High School. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Hey, you know what? Congratulations on this album arriving. I got to tell you, you've put out some great albums before, but this is one of the tightest ones I've heard since the Judy Batts days. Just solid all the way through.
Well, I appreciate that. It took a little time to get it together, but, you know, once I decided to get it together, it happened very quickly.
Yeah, and so I mean, that made me wonder, you know, you don't put out albums very often. Sometimes it's a few years in between. How do you decide when it's time to put one out?
Well, actually, five of the songs on this CD I recorded about 4 years ago. And then stopped, mainly due to I had a work situation. The people I worked for, it was an awful situation that ended. So it was kind of like about money as much as anything else. But it also kind of put me in negative land for about 16 months.
Oh, boy.
And I just wasn't going to do music again. I just didn't play or do anything. And then It's just been like about 8 months ago or less. I just got to thinking about it, and I listened to the songs, the demos, and I was like, those are really good. And I don't like anything unfinished. That's just me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to finish this, and if I'm going to finish it, I have to write some more songs. So I just got the guitar out and went at it.
There you go. So pretty soon you had, well, you had at least 12 songs ready to go.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And, you know, I mentioned real briefly, of course, the Judy Betts were your original band that you were well known for. Was there some kind of conscious decision to just say the Judy Betts are over and now it's High School? How did that happen?
Well, I mean, because I'm not the Judy Betts. I mean, I'm just me, and I don't know, my name is not very common, so I thought, why not just, and I have a lot of people here in town that just call me High School, they don't call me Jeff, so I thought, why not just go as High School? And also because, you know, I didn't teach myself how to play the guitar until 2007.
Really?
No, yeah. All the songs on Clip On Nose Ring, I wrote those actually in about 60 days.
Wow.
While teaching myself. Yeah, I got a guitar book, and I was like, I'm actually, you know, I've always had a guitar around, banged on, didn't know what I was doing. I'm actually going to sit and learn to play the guitar. And I never opened that book. It's still upstairs. I just drank wine, and I told myself I had to play the guitar from 30 minutes to an hour every night. And even as I started doing it, I just found all these chord progressions and wrote those songs on that CD, showed them to Tim Lee, and then we went in and he did his thing with them. You know, very true to my demos. But that's the progression from that. I just got tired of waiting on other people. I mean, I live alone. I like living alone. I prioritize according to what I think is important to me. And so trying to get together with other people, even for a band practice or anything like that, is so exhausting because most other people have, you know, the wives and the kids, and a lot of people I know, you know, they've got the grandkids because they've got, you know, daddy babies and all that. Just trying to get people together is so hard. And I was like, you know, I love working alone usually. And why don't I just like sit here and do it by myself and write my own songs? And it really shocked me.
That's how cool.
Quickly that just kind of happened. And I really enjoy it. But I also enjoy the collaborative effort of turning it over to someone else and saying, you know, here's my song. Do you like it? And every time I presented a song to my really talented musician friends, they're like, that's awesome. Even though I can't play the guitar very well. And just, you know, saying, I've written this song. You flesh it out. You take it in a direction it needs to go. And that's something I've really enjoyed.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, to your point about kind of learning how to play guitar so that you could write the songs on them, I think that's what got in the way of me ever learning how to play guitar, because I would pick up a guitar and a guitar book, and I would just hate the old songs that they would try to make you learn on. I thought, boy, if I could get through this, I can learn some pretty cool songs. So you just jump right ahead and said, well, I'll just write my own songs that I can learn on.
Yeah, I have never in my life. I know that in the Judy Betts, we would do covers and people like that. But that was somebody else wanting to do that. And I had a good time with that. I have never learned how to play anyone else's song. And I really don't care to do that. I have always just sat there and played the guitar and wrote my own. I have no interest in learning other people's music. So that may be something that holds a lot of people back, you know, when they are trying to learn an instrument.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I like that. I love that it's all originals for the most part here. That's just fantastic. That's what we champion here on Swirl Radio. So who's in the band on this album this time through?
Well, on five of the songs, I have Tim Lee and his wife, Susan, who's a bass player. They play on a lot of the songs. We just went in. We were just going to make it real basic. As a matter of fact, the song Carhartts, I remember we had gotten together and did some drinking and did a practice and learned it. And what you hear on the CD is actually the drums, the bass, and the lead guitar. It's the first time and the only time it was played in the studio.
That's like, fantastic.
Yeah, that's good enough. That bed is good enough. There's no flaws in that. Let's just move on. And then I wrote some other songs after that, you know, here in the last several months, and I got together with John Todd Baker, who owns a studio that's real close to me, and Greg Comer, Jeff Bills, that used to be in the B-Roys. He does the drums on a couple of songs. I got together with them and just kind of turned them loose on some of the things I had written here recently.
Very good. And you mentioned the song Carhartts. I've been meaning to ask you about that. What does that mean? I've never heard that. That word sounds really familiar, but I don't think I've ever heard it. What is it?
Are you talking about Carhartts, the clothing?
Ah, okay, okay.
You got it now?
Got it, yes.
Yeah. That all the construction worker blue-collar men wear.
Got it. Okay. And I'm looking at the lyrics. That makes it a lot more sense now. All right. Got it. Okay. And you know, somebody said this before, and it's so true. You know, when you're in a good mood, you like the music. When you're in a sad mood, you understand the lyrics. I think, you know, a lot of your songs are catchy. They grab you at first. Then when you start listening to the lyrics, there's a whole depth to it that you didn't catch the first time.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I mean, I think that's a lot of people, I don't know if they understand. I guess if I was just, you know, writing throw off dumb dumb pop songs, it would be different. I don't do that. I mean, these emotionally writing these things is very taxing for me. It's very emotionally expensive. And I don't just sit and write, you know, 99, you know, red love balloons. I don't do that. You know, when I'm writing, I'm very much, there's something on my mind that I need to write about. And so, I mean, people have always seemed to like that. I don't necessarily, I was just never thought about writing like Dum Dum songs until like actually the last couple of days. Like, what if I did a record of just happy, happy Dum Dum songs? you never know. I might do.
I wonder what that would sound like coming from you. That would be kind of interesting.
I know. That's why I've been thinking about it for 2 days. I was trimming some trees out in my yard, and I was like, what if I just wrote a bunch of just happy, sunshiny, I'm so in love and just love everything and everybody pop songs?
Well, definitely throw some our way. We'll air them out and see what happens here on the radio. I'm chatting with Jeff, Highschool, who just released a magnificent album called Arriving. I'd like to take a break and listen to another song off of Arriving. Jeff, which one should we play here?
Well, why don't we just get into all the big thickness of Carhartts?
Sounds good to me. Here's Highschool and Carhartts.
Thank you.
96.5 FM, KUBU, the voice of Sacramento with High School and Carhartts. Got a case of the Carhartts, and Jeff High School, our guest, has put a little more meaning to that. So, Jeff, do you plan on playing any live gigs? Are we going to give these songs an airing out sometime soon?
Yeah, I'm playing at Preservation Pub on the 23rd of October. And after that, I'm playing at a really nice newer venue here in town called the Open Chord. That's on November 14th.
Nice. Nice. Full band or solo? How do you do that?
Oh, no, it's a full band, and I've got some extremely talented people playing with me. They listen to it three or four times and learn it and throw it down, and they can sing. And I've never really played with people I'm not talking like top-tier singers, like that's all they do is sing, sing, sing. But I'm talking about playing with a band where there's at least three guys in the band that it can actually sing on key and like make it happen.
Oh, nice.
Three of them. Yeah, so some of these melodies, these harmonies and stuff you hear on this CD, we do it live.
Oh, wow.
When we played once, I was so nervous because I hadn't played in 4 years. But we played live for the first time about a month ago, and people just raved about it.
I would love
it. It embarrassed me. They were coming up talking about how good it was. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that good. And they were like, Jeff, no, that was really good. So It must be pretty good.
I would say I would love to hear those live harmonies. You know, when you get it just right, you know, it's kind of sends a chill up your spine. Question for you. Of course, it's all been questions, but what's the meaning of the title Arriving? Why did you name the album Arriving?
Well, that's the lyrics for that. I just really liked them. And I feel like I'm at a place in my life where I'm pretty happy. And I don't know. I just, when I looked at it, I was like, what am I going to call this CD? And I was going to call it Would You Even Know Me Now? And that's a little too long. And that song is kind of mean. So I didn't
yes.
want to do that.
Yes.
And when I thought about calling the CD Arriving, I immediately thought about Susan's photo of this dead crow that she buried.
That
she had posted on Instagram and on Facebook. And I'm like, the minute that I thought about that, I'm like, I'm going to call it Arriving, and it's going to be the cover.
Wow.
Because, there's no deeper meaning about arriving other than being laying on your back dead.
So yeah,
that's my way of thinking. I could just suddenly see Arriving and that crow picture, and I'm like, I'm good. That's good. That makes sense to
me. That's a vision. That's a pretty bleak cover. I saw it and I thought, okay, what are we in for? That is the first thing I saw too. But yes, it definitely sends the message.
Well, it's so difficult with cover art. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, I didn't want to do another cover with me, a picture of me. And you're going to have a little happy sky, or, I mean, what it, all that is so, it's so difficult. And I just thought, why not go with a photograph that I don't care what it is. Just when I saw it, I just loved the photograph. To me, that's enough.
Yeah. Just a lot of texture and grain to this black and white photo. And it, you know, there you go. You have your cover. I know what you mean. Sometimes you take a picture or you see a picture and you say that is an album cover somewhere. So you had it there.
Right.
Real quick, we're getting towards the end of our time here. Who would you count among your major musical influences?
Well, you know, I started out with Joni Mitchell. That is so difficult for me because I have, like, a lot of, like, memory, like, music memory. I remember everyone's face that I ever see, even if you're someone that just serves me a Hardee's burger.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit that way with music, so everything sticks with me. I have been, like, blaring a lot of Guided by Voices in my car.
Ah.
I would just have to say that Guided by Voices is just, I just can't get past it. And when I listen to it, it almost makes me want to stop making music. Like, I'll never, ever make anything that's even close to that good.
Wow.
Just to give you an idea, I was a huge My Bloody Valentine fan back in the day. Eric Satie, the pianist, that stuff really just gets in my brain when I listen to that. So I'm a little bit all over the place. I don't do Christian rock.
Okay.
So that's one thing I don't do. But, that's really hard to pin down. I'm a big Mark Eitzel fan.
Okay,
He's had a huge influence on me in the last 15 or 20 years in that I love the timbre of his voice, and I love his delivery and the flatness that he can achieve while still being on key.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment when you put it that way. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I just love, I mean, he can, like, sing anything, and it really makes me lean forward. So he's been a big influence on me as well.
Well, I'm here with Jeff Heiskell, and you know what? I think your album makes people lean forward. You just put out a wonderful album called Arriving. Can you tell my listeners where they can find out more about you, your music, and the album Arriving?
Well, there's a website, heiskellmusic.com. My last name is spelled H-E-I-S-K-E-L-L. HighSchoolMusic.com. I have a sell page on Facebook as well. And that's really it. I don't Twitter much. Twitter seems a little bit silly and too abbreviated for me. But that's where you can find out about my stuff.
I agree. Twitter is kind of like the status feature of Facebook and nothing more. Jeff, I can't believe our time is almost over here. Thank you so much for hanging out with me here on Swirl Radio. Appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate you calling me. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. So what song should we hear off of Arriving as we end the segment?
Why don't we do something else that is probably a little bit... Let's do a song that's about a sexual subject, a sexual practice that we really can't talk about on air, that I'm not even comfortable talking about, and that made my face red when I was singing the lead vocals in the studio, and my people were so nice, they didn't say anything. Let's listen to a song called Deep Appreciation.
Deep Appreciation. Here we go. Jeff Heiskell, thanks so much. Stay on the line. Be right back with you.